back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Mix 105.9. Hot hits from the 80s, 90s, and today, all night long. Okay, so there you have it. It's time to get going. Okay, I think maybe we have our technical difficulties under control at this point in time.
Yay.
Maybe. So just ignore anything you might be hearing while recording.
Ignore anything you might be hearing.
Exactly. You too, audience. For our audience, please ignore the following. At 1 hour special.
Oh, well, hopefully it'll be better than that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah,
wouldn't put any money on it.
Well, we don't have any money to put.
All right, let's talk about good things.
Hey, well,
we're being sponsored by a different beer company this time around.
Yes, we are.
We lost our sponsorship with we can't mention that name now because we're not sponsoring that alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But we did lose our previous sponsor due to some behind the scenes shenanigans with our last sponsorship shipment.
And yes.
So,
and now we're with Stella Artois.
Yes, a fine Belgian beer.
Yes, lovely.
It's a little more mainstream, a little less obscure.
But it's very light and tasty and no aftertaste. Good, I like it.
Yeah, it's a bitter kind of beer, but it's not bitter.
Right,
it's
not
like
at all.
Heineken, it's like a Beck's, but it's not
it
it's
doesn't
not bitter.
Have that... I guess aftertaste, is that what it is that a Heineken? I don't like Heineken. I like Beck's, but Heineken has a weird taste to it at the end that I don't care for.
Yeah, leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yes, it does.
Kind of like all my previous employers.
Yes, sure, exactly like that. Yes. So Stella is a fine beer. I'm happy to have Stella. Yes.
Me too. I love it when it's free. We love this company.
Yes, lovely, lovely.
So, Kim, how you been? Been a long time.
In a year since we've podcasted.
Gosh, I haven't seen you in a year. Has it been that long?
I just can't believe it myself. Yes. It's been a little over a year
now. I can't believe it either after hearing you chuckling.
So much has
happened. I'm sure our audience doesn't believe it either.
So much has happened.
A lot has transpired in 1 year. Yes. Of course, that's... true in any year, I suppose.
For anybody, generally, yes, that is true. It's like you can't believe it's been a year, and then you think about all the things that happened, and you're like, wow, it's only been a year. But, you know, a year ago, we weren't in the house.
Yeah, we live in a house now.
Now we live in a house.
Like, no longer are we apartment
dwellers.
Rats.
Yes.
Yes, well, dwellers is a nice word to say it, but we're not in the rat race anymore, in the rat box.
Right.
We have a big kitchen.
A big kitchen.
Washer dryer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, we're regular.
Yard.
Yuppies.
Porch, two of
them. We do have two porches, a front and a back porch. We have a backyard that's fenced in, which the dog doesn't like. We have a front yard that is not fenced in, which the dog kind of likes a lot better.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is good.
Things are good. We got a tin roof on our front porch.
Mm-hmm.
So when it rains, it makes a tin roof raining sound.
Mm-hmm. Very pleasant.
Sort of like white noise.
Mm-hmm.
Natural.
Mm-hmm.
And we live next to a little, what we like to think of as a creek.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a storm drain.
Mm-hmm.
But it fills up like a little creek when it rains, and it looks kind of cool. And there's a lot of trees.
Out in the
country. Yep, a lot of trees around us. And we're actually lucky to be in amongst a little canopy of trees because we actually still live in a city.
Mm-hmm. We do.
It's a very strange city,
isn't
it?
Oddly enough. Yes, it is.
In that way, that it's very can be very rural in one spot, in one like half acre, half square acre plot. It can be very rural and completely surrounded by a canopy of trees and grass and mm-hmm. ground, but then you go 100 feet, 100 yards, and it's all pavement and mm-hmm. mm-hmm. city-like.
Mm-hmm. It is unusual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing about Nashville.
It is.
Convenient to things, yet it's...
pretty easy to get around.
Yeah.
Like, it's still pleasant. No, you don't have to drive far, at least.
To get to the feeling of country, sort of. Yeah,
15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're out in the middle of the sticks.
Yep. Whereas any other city would take you a lot longer
at least
to get there.
2 hours. In New York.
Yeah.
It's at least 2 hours to get to, like, full-on nature.
Yeah, could be. With traffic, yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're driving, it's a little faster. If you're in a car. But for us, when we went to the city, it was different.
With the train, yeah,
It was at least an hour just to get on the Metro North or on the Long Island Railroad.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. This is much more convenient. Very relaxing.
Yeah, nice, right?
Yes, very pleasant.
The dog likes it.
The dog is very happy.
And ultimately, that's all that really matters.
That is all that matters. He defines our existence here.
We are, he's the sun. We are revolving planets in his cosmos.
Yes.
All right, so what's been going on? Oh, we moved into a house. Wait, did we just talk about that?
Yeah, we did just talk about that.
I must
have smoked
something.
Yes.
I forget.
Well, and you set up your recording studio.
Hey,
yes.
There you go.
It's a two-bedroom house. One bedroom's your studio. The other is a bedroom. And
that's
the living room is the live room.
Yeah.
Right, so you set that
so
all up.
So like a real full-on 8-track project studio with two separate rooms, control space and a live space.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a lot of...
gear.
Yeah, new equipment. Mm-hmm. Really had a major overhaul of my previous recording quality tools.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of new microphones, decent preamps, and... better computer, faster, more powerful computer.
Right.
I've got studio monitors now, so I'm actually able to mix with some level of accuracy.
Right.
And what else?
You got a new guitar.
I got a mixing board. I got a new guitar. I got a drum kit.
Yeah.
I got bass. I got a bass now.
Got a lot of stuff.
Gosh, I got a lot of things.
Yep.
I even got that keyboard thing.
Keyboard thing.
The organ, little Sears organ thing.
You did.
Yeah.
Got a lot of stuff. You built it up real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Took me a month and a half to get through it, 2 months to get it all together.
Yeah.
And then it took me 3 months to learn how to use it all.
Yeah. Yeah. But now you're pretty good with it.
Seems like I'm on a good streak here.
Yeah. Your recording sound good?
Yeah, my new one, my new Christmas song. Is pretty strong, punk rock kind of.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
Yeah, that is unexpected. Very unexpected. Different.
Yeah.
It's cool. Very cool. Suicidal Consumers. And we didn't participate in that this year. We didn't buy anything.
We have not bought.
No.
What did we spend? $50 on gifts for other people.
Well, it was more like $75 for my parents.
Under $100.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know,
because we're saving our money for, the investment in the manufacture of your CD.
Yes. That as well as we need to buy a new bed. So,
right. So we're not just buying random Christmas gifts to spend money on.
Right.
We're trying to save our money and allocate it for... purposeful things.
Right. Make our purchases really count in the long run.
Right. Right. So, and we desperately need a new bed as well. So.
Yeah, it's pretty bad at this point. I won't go into it. But let's just say I'm my back is cut to pieces by coils of metal.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, leave it at that.
Yes, yes, yes. What else has happened in the last year?
We didn't bomb Iran.
We didn't bomb Iran.
Thank fucking God.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
That is good news.
Pardon
that
me.
Is
now
me
that
to
makes
be
our,
grateful for.
If I don't bleep that out, it makes our podcast like adults only. Explicit content. I'll fix it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have ratings for podcasts?
Well, I mean... you can, like, if you
self-regulating.
Curse, yeah, if you curse, you should say this, like, cursing in it.
Oh, but there's not the MPAA yet. Is not like the
Podcast Association of Censors of America. There probably is.
I already clamping down on podcasts.
The Pac-Man Podcasting Association Censors. Man.
Yeah. That'll be next year.
Yeah.
I'll be talking about that next year. Our annual podcast.
Right. Yes. So, yeah, the studio's come together.
Yes. You have really the EP is done. And you're still working on it.
And I've just come up with three new songs that really fit with that material.
Right.
So I'm going to flesh those out a little bit more. And before we go to manufacture actual production, manufacture of the album, I'm hoping that I'll throw those songs on there and maybe a few others. And then have an actual LP, full length, for actual release. The EP is available. It's just a home production. It's
not shrink wrapped.
Yeah, it's well, it's a home production. It's mastered, it's mixed, mastered, and ready to go. Music is there, and it's like, you know, I actually did all the artwork, and I can manufacture the artwork here with my own printing equipment, but it's, you know, it doesn't have a barcode, and it's not like shrink wrapped and all that, but it's still of a quality that's, you know, it's good, but it'll be better.
Right. It just doesn't look like it was manufactured. It still looks amateur. Yeah. Right. Right. So then having the barcode and it manufactured at disc makers will enable it to be sold at online, you know, retailers and get distributed and all of that.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then, you know, that's, once it's available at those standardized outlets, it's more likely to be talked about by
written about
CD reviewers and press and whatever, that whole operation.
Right. Very good. Very good.
All right. So what's for Christmas dinner tomorrow? It is Christmas Eve, by the way. Christmas this is Eve. Our Christmas Eve 2007.
Yes.
Podcast.
Christmas.
Our annual podcast.
Christmas dinner. Well, we have some ground beef, and I guess we'll just make hamburgers, maybe meatloaf.
That hamburger you made today was so good.
Okay, good. So maybe another tomorrow. And I'm making a string bean casserole, and we have the vegetable dip.
Yeah, that was good too.
Thank you.
Yeah, celery and carrots and homemade spinach dip.
Yep. And something else. I don't know. Maybe just tater tots. I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, the tater tots were good.
We're having
the dog liked them.
A real well, whatever. A Tennessee Christmas.
You're crazy. That's good food. It's not like, you know, your mother's house or whatever, but she doesn't have a job.
She does have a job, actually.
Yeah, but she not has like your job.
Three jobs.
She doesn't have rent.
She doesn't have rent. Yeah. Yeah. No, and the beef is grass-fed, so that's good. It's healthy, good beef. We're not eating crapola there, so that's good. Yes.
It's and good food.
It is good. It'll be very nice. It's not so much the food, but the company that counts.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, I think you were saying that. So
I was.
A met need.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes, yes. So that seems to be on the menu for tomorrow night.
All right. So, what else?
We're like drawing it blank.
No, the beauty of this is I can edit.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay.
I will.
Okay.
So don't feel like it has to be a perfect one-take operation. Okay. So now we're not Robert Johnson here.
Okay, good. Because he had a lot more practice than we do.
Well, we haven't done this in a year, for Christ's sake. Lay off yourself.
Lay off yourself.
Yeah, right. Too hard on yourself.
What else? What else? What else? What else?
Well, I've been working at this retail outlet, Anthropology, for the holiday season.
And it's about.
It's done.
It's about done.
Tomorrow, or day after tomorrow, is my last day.
Right, right. That went pretty fast, actually.
It actually did go by really fast.
Yeah.
Because I was only doing, like, there for a minute, like, 3 days a week.
Right. For 6 weeks goes by kind of fast.
Yeah, but the first two or three weeks, I worked like 5 days a week.
Yeah, you worked extra. And then it was pretty cool for a bit. And then
this guy, corporate guy,
showed up and it really got bad.
Turned into a nightmare. But he's like corporate in the Urban Outfitters kind of way.
In the I'm cool and trendy and hip kind of a way.
De La Soul t-shirt. And he's from, you know, Philly.
I'm corporate with a personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except that, like...
Except I'm a robot.
He's a total fucking square, man.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm done with that.
Okay, so... So that's your anthropology story. Yeah, but anthropology pretty much has goods for sale that are, like, incredibly expensive.
For it's bourgeois. Out the wazoo.
But it's also, like, all made in where? China or India? India, or mostly. India.
China and India.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's slave labor, child labor.
Right, and they sell it for, considering the materials and the labor involved, the cost involved, they sell it for, like, $200, and it probably costs maybe $20 to make.
One pair of pants is, like, $159.
Right.
And I'm sure it costs them, like, at max $20. Shipping and
everything.
And labor and materials. Maximum $20, $25. Mm-hmm. I'll even give them $50 for cost.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like $100.
But it's all made in foreign countries India.
Oh, it's all bullshit.
So they're like a real global. They're really taking advantage of globalization.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're front lines of global corporate capitalism.
That is one thing. But then what was also really striking to me about anthropology was their whole, like, cheerleading Oprah system that they had.
Oh, my God.
And, like, rah, 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 we've just made $18,000 in 1 hour, and you should be celebrating. We should all be feeling very positive about that.
Yeah, well, I asked somebody came through, one of the managers came through and was like, they do this every day. They tell you, like, every 2 or 3 hours, like, if we've met our sales goals for the day. And there's no commission. There's no profit sharing. Okay? If there was, this would make sense.
Yeah, that would.
But there is none.
Right.
Employees, they make a flat
hourly
rate, which is very low. If they're on full-time, which is very uncommon.
Most of the floor, the girls on the floor are not full-time?
It's mostly part-time help.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's only, like, an inner sanctum of full-time people who actually take advantage of benefits.
I see.
And it's all management people. And then the two people in the stock room, now three people in the stock room are full-time. But for the most part, everybody's part-time, does not get benefits, and is paid probably barely $8 an hour, which is not a living wage in the year 2007.
Nope.
It's a crime that it's not the minimum wage, $8.
Yeah.
Even $10, really, at this
point.
Well,
hadn't Vanderbilt University deduced that $11 an hour was the bare minimum living wage in Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah.
I think so. That was
last year.
And
that's what I was making at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, or maybe it was 10. I don't know. It was 10 or 11.
I think it was 10, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the fact is, nowhere in America can you get by on $8 an hour.
No.
So not if you're supporting yourself. You know, living in a house, paying rent, utilities, and regular bills, it's just not
can't
possible.
Do it.
No.
Yeah.
So, so most of the people are being paid this kind of wage.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this cheerleader thing, like every 2 or 3 hours or something, they'll come through and say, yay, everybody, we've just passed $9,000 in sales. And then, like, 2 or 3 hours later, they'll say, yay, everybody, we've just passed $22,000 in sales, which is what that happened today.
Mm.
And but it's like, and one time I said, oh, wow, how does that get, you know, that it's like, how much of that do we get?
Ooh.
And it didn't really go over too well.
That was pretty unpopular.
A lead brick.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, it's kind of making a joke, you know, like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see some of that in my paycheck,
totally.
You know?
Yeah.
$22,000 a day this place is making.
It's a lot of money. A lot of money.
So, it's like they throw it in your face.
Right. I mean, it's fine. Let them make as much money as they're going to make. Good for them. But don't expect you to have to feel like you have to celebrate.
But you're supposed to, yes. Their expectation is that you will be enthusiastic about increasing those sales when there's absolutely no incentive for you to do such a thing.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Because you don't partake in that at
all. No, you don't receive the benefit of that.
And not only that, but you don't even get a chair to sit in for your full
seven-and-a-half-hour day. From the time I come in. It's actually, they don't let you take a break. They don't let you sit down. That, you know, if they had whips, I'm sure they'd smack you if you weren't doing something right. Mm-hmm, you know, it's like, it's just that close to the borderline of slavery.
Yeah.
You know, and
they want to get as much out of you as possible. Except that it's all done
with a smile.
Right.
And this faux enthusiasm, positive. Yeah. Well, they even wrote a song. And this girl sang this song in this meeting, the manager, the positive song. Yeah, it's absolute off the hook. Insane.
That is insane.
It's nuts. They're out of their minds. So I've gradually grown more and more like bitter about having to be there.
Yeah.
To the extent that, like, you know, I'm just done.
You've had your film.
It forces me to write a song called Suicidal Consumers, you know, and, you know, mankind is a tumor. You know, peace and love is a rumor. It's like, this is the way this shit makes me feel because I see through it. It's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. All of it. Total bullshit. And they're, you know, not only faking everyone else out, they're faking themselves out, you know.
Well, it's just a sale, like, through and through. They're just selling you some concoction, you know. It's not real.
Some snake oil bullshit. Anyway, that's been my experience with the anthropology.
Right.
You know, initially I did think like, this is positive atmosphere.
Right.
It could be good for me, you know, because I did tend toward the negative. For those of you that know me, I don't have to say that.
Right.
But like, and it's very hard for me to be like, it takes a lot of effort for me to be optimistic and to see like, the good in people and that kind of thing. Although I make the effort, it's a chore. So I was thinking, and we had discussed this before, that maybe it might be good change of scenery for me. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it might start out like seeming like, I could probably do well with seeing things this way or experiencing this. But ultimately I see through it.
It's phony, yeah. Well, it just would be different if there was a genuinely positive sentiment created from the ground up at the company because, A, maybe there was profit sharing, you know, or there was something where people from the bottom up were also sharing in the fruits, you know, not just the people up top.
If
you know?
It's a genuine community, then it has a genuine natural enthusiasm.
You can't manufacture that.
No, and that's all they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They're trying to outsource happiness or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That it's doesn't bizarre. Make sense. But they are trying to, like you said, manufacture enthusiasm for the company increasing sales.
Right.
When there's no incentive for the salespeople on the floor to do such a thing.
Right.
You know, and all that does is generate bitterness.
Yeah.
And like a real rage against that operation.
Well, because it's this sort of compulsory happiness, this forced like happiness that would make one enraged that you maybe there's a general like happy attitude in the company or something, or a general positive vibe, but this sort of like daily onslaught of forcing you to, you know, be happy or to be positive, that could just drive somebody insane, you know, make you feel very, very angry, you know, just like you don't really have a choice in how you feel.
Yeah, it's the obligation.
Yeah.
It's the obligation to
so not only do you have to do your job, but, you know, like not only do you have to do your job, look cute, but then you have to, like, feel positive. It's like, stop telling me how to feel.
Yeah, it's total bullshit.
That's my department, you know?
All right, so that's over.
Yes.
I'm real happy about that,
You're happy about that, are you? Look, anthropology has made you happy.
Well, I mean, it's troublesome because it's money is not going to come in now. And I have to figure out a different source of money coming in because in order to get this record manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a little stressful, but like, I can't stay in that mindset, you know? I can't stay in a situation that drives me to that point of frustration, bitterness, and anger. Like, I really have to have more control over I wish I could have more control over how I react to that kind of environment, but right. after a certain point of tolerating it, I no longer can. It's like I can't make myself tolerate this anymore.
You can't just say, oh, this is the job, and, you know, just kind of see yourself as separate from it or something.
No, because somehow I feel like I'm lying to myself, or I'm lying. I just feel like dirty, like soiled by the environment. Mm-hmm. And I can't make myself tolerate. I can make myself tolerate it for a relatively short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, there's a threshold that's crossed, and I can't fucking deal with it anymore. And unless I get away from it, a scene is going to get created, you know?
Right,
and
right.
I don't want to make a scene, and, right. but... Can't fucking help it, man. I say what's on my mind. I don't front. I confront. Don't front. 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 Thank you. Okay, so we're back, and we'd like to thank our kind, proud sponsor.
Yes, Stella Artois.
Oh, okay.
Thank Stella. You so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for the six pack of Stella's
premium lager beer.
Yeah, imported from Belgium.
Can't wait till we get to go to Belgium.
That would be nice, won't it?
Have beer and chocolate.
Oh my God.
Anno 1366. So they've been doing this for 741 years.
My goodness. This beer has been brewed by the same noble tradition in Belgium since 1366.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tastes great.
Less filling.
Tastes great. Steinbrenner. Tastes great.
That was good, wasn't it?
It was very
good.
Yeah.
That series. Let's
tell our audience what we're talking about. Maybe they don't know.
Yes, yes. That series on ESPN. What was it called? Bronx something or other. About the George Steinbrenner, Billy Martin relationship. The New York Yankees.
I think it was called The Bronx is Burning.
The Bronx is Burning. Yes, I think you're right. Yes, it was. And surprisingly, it was very well done.
Yeah, I thought initially like it couldn't possibly be good with Oliver Platt as Steinbrenner and John Turturro as
Billy Martin. Yeah, I thought, oh God, I cannot bear this. But they were very good.
They did actually have a rapport that came together.
They really did.
And they caught me on the first episode.
Wow.
By the end of it, I was like, oh, I got to see that. I want to see the next one.
So you watch the next 20.
Well, and for Christ's sake, they played it as a marathon. So, yeah, I spent the whole freaking day watching it.
Yeah.
Like 8 hours worth or something. Yeah. But it was totally worth it.
It was very good. It was very good.
It was like a long movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With limited commercial interruption.
Yeah. It was very good. Very good.
It was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Yes, yes,
I highly
yes.
recommend it.
Yes.
So... I guess we've kind of turned into homebodies.
Well, I guess we have. Because we have a very comfortable home for the first time. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, it is very refreshing to have a relaxing place to live.
Yeah, so all you people, fuck off.
I mean, I just think this is the time period for us to relax and, you know,
turn. I don't know about relax, but...
Well, at least have a relaxing...
I think internalize.
Yeah, internalize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut off all the external distraction.
Right.
And get some work done.
Right. Right. It's not like we're just lolling around unfortunately. We're working hard.
Someday you'll be able to be completely sedentary.
I'm just ready to loll around. Yeah.
You're ready to be 859 pounds.
I'm getting there.
Hey, we're working on it.
Yeah, we're working on it. Just 700 more to go.
You mean 700. 600.
Shut up. It's fucking car culture. That's the problem.
It, you know, immediately sank us.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's pretty deadly. You Weird. Have to make a special effort to not gain weight. It's incredible.
Yeah.
We're so sedentary. Between working at a 9-to-5 job and having a car.
Especially you. You sit on your fucking ass all day.
Yeah, I do. I make a concerted effort to try to go for a walk during lunch, but obviously it doesn't do anything.
It probably does do something. If you weren't to not go for a walk, you'd turn into... I worked with at Vanderbilt.
I need to go for a longer
These
walk.
Women are like big fucking Muppet monsters.
I know. It's awful.
So weird.
It is weird.
Jim Henson, you know, that had to be where he got like the trash heap for the Fraggles and like Snuffleupagus and like all those giant lumbering weird puppets that he made, you know? Like,
yeah.
And what's that movie that he did of the shard of the something?
I don't know.
The shard. Something about a shard. It was like a crystal. And it had all these really crazy, crazy Muppets. Like, this was super bizarre. Like,
I don't know. I wasn't like never a
I didn't
Jim
like
Henson
him either. That guy
thing.
Scared the shit out of me.
He's pretty weird. Yeah.
Really weird for a kids thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, these giant fat women that are over like 350 pounds, 400 pounds,
yeah,
that are just these massive rolls of cellulite, like, God, it has to be where he got these.
Yeah,
like,
they
concepts,
were the inspiration.
You know?
Yeah.
Weird.
It's crazy. Really is crazy.
And that's all they do is they sit on their ass and they do these like computerized tasks and they talk on the phone. Like they do like office administration stuff.
Yeah.
They work, but they're sitting in one spot the whole time.
Yeah.
And they eat, you know, there was like Krispy Kreme donuts every day.
Yeah.
And like people would bring in like
fast food,
all kinds of food. And it was just like people were eating throughout the day, all day.
Right. They do that. Like somebody will bring in like chili or.
There was this plate of chocolates at Anthropology and like a giant like cranberry coffee cake thing that somebody made. It's really weird. I've never had that experience.
Well, this is the holidays. So people like during the holidays will bring in food. Usually sweets and stuff.
Yeah.
Does Anthropology, this is the first time there probably, right? That they've had food?
Yeah. It's,
whereas
they
in the office culture, those people bring in food all the time.
No, it's not true. Actually, the whole time I've been there, there's always been some kind of, not every day, but like there, you know, there will be food. So, but I do think it's more holiday oriented there.
Yeah.
But still, there is a center around the whole food thing that like everybody gets into. I don't know. People eat all fucking day.
Yeah.
They're just constantly eating. And I think to medicate themselves, you know, it's that.
Probably.
It's like
sugar too.
Right. To keep themselves going and to kind of medicate the pain of like the fact that they can't sit down.
Yeah.
Or they can't like not be in this environment that they don't really want to be in.
I couldn't imagine doing that 5 days a week.
Fuck that.
You just have to be tripped out, like, whatever, if you're that disconnected anyway.
Well, that's what it is, you know. They're not, they're numb to it because they have to be.
And some people feel more comfortable like that, so they don't mind it necessarily.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Or escape, you know.
Yeah. Delusion is less painful.
Right.
Yeah, right. So,
yeah, anyway.
We love America. It's a wonderful place to be. I mean, now, granted, and I say that sarcastically just now, but it is a true statement. I do love being here.
As long as you don't turn the TV, it's okay.
Right. And that's not hard to do. Who told you to turn it on? Nobody holding the gun to your head. Just keep the fucking thing off. That's not hard. Also, like, here we are, sitting in our house. There's no threat of the Gestapo coming in and hauling me off to Guantanamo. I mean, it's there. You know, it could happen. But it ain't gonna happen. Not very unlikely. Unless I say things like, you know, President.
Joel.
Yeah.
Let's just change the subject.
No, I'm trying to say that like I'd like the freedom to spend my time how I see fit, involved in creative pursuits or just, you know, enjoying the day. There's a, you know, beautiful cloud cover this afternoon, just before sunset. And, you know, like in some places, you can't look up at the sky and enjoy that. In Iraq, can you do that?
Right.
No.
Right.
And then if you're starving in Somalia, can you do that?
Right.
No.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's so I do have an appreciation for the somewhat of the isolation that we have here on this continent from the trouble spots of the rest of the world.
Right.
But I do struggle with how that isolation is also, you know, causes a lot of problems in
Yeah.
You know, it's like the neglect. It's a, it can be abused, you know, in terms of like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You know, people can just get so disconnected from what's going on. It's too easy to shrink into your own world and become part of the passive problem of the human experience.
Right, right.
I guess right. That's what I'm trying to say.
I hear you. I hear you. Yep, there's a fine line there between just being another sort of gluttonous, passive consumer, you know,
yeah.
who's just self-absorbed, as compared to somebody who's, you know, absorbed in their world, but yet does care about the outside world, but, you know, edits the information that they let in, you know, but does have a concern, an interest in the outside world, just doesn't want to be dominated by that, you know.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it becomes, it's a burden that you can't. You can't bear.
Right. You can really only affect the world that you live in immediately unless you become a substantial figure in the world, you know.
And but even then, you can only have your as much effect on your direct surroundings.
Yeah,
and
you can
throw money
way.
At all kinds of yeah. problems, but that ain't gonna fix a lot of those
it's
problems.
It's true.
You could. I mean, if we had $10 billion,
need to be directly involved in something for it to really work out the way that you plan. You need to be directly involved.
If we had $10 billion, that doesn't mean we could go fix. You know, we couldn't fix the whole city of Nashville. And everybody's problems.
Right.
You know, but we could at least deal with our neighborhood.
Right.
Or even, you know, we could buy our own house and property and then outfit it to be independent of the utility grid.
Right.
Which would have larger effect.
Right.
You know, so like it just money does help, but you got to like. You can't just throw, like Oprah, $1 million at a bunch of poor kids in some other country because it's sort of a sexy news item.
Right.
And not have the issues come up. Like, the people at that school are abusing the kids, and she didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not, because she threw a bunch of money at it, at the initial problem, and didn't stay on top of it. Why? Because she's disingenuous about actually giving a shit about those people. She's not involved in their day-to-day lives.
Right.
She doesn't give a shit. It's a PR stunt for her, you know? So that's what I'm saying. You could be on top of the world in a larger-than-life figure, like someone like Oprah.
Right.
But still, and throw a bunch of money at something, and it still not fix a problem.
Right.
You know, there's still you know, genuine struggle and pain and suffering occurring in that very school with those very kids that she thought throwing a bunch of money at would help.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
It might have helped in a certain way, but it definitely didn't get to the root of the problems of that particular environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the fuck? You know, it does. You got to do what you can do. And be genuinely sincere about it. You know? That's the trouble with when people get a lot of money and think that their money is going to fix things.
It becomes kind of random rather than like really connected to.
Well, this is very much like the lady that I worked for who her son was doing the documentary on the Lost Boys of the Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Her whole thing was trying to. I was doing administrative work for her, personal assistant kind of thing. And she kept pushing, like, she needed some marketing and PR for this DVD so that it could kind of get out there. And she said that she wanted to sex up the concept of terrorism. This was very shortly after 9/11.
Insane.
She literally said that. Sex up the idea of terrorism. Link it to the terrorist notion that's playing so heavily in the media in order to get publicity for her son's DVD. That supposedly gives a shit about these lost boys of Sudan.
So So insane.
As out of this fucking world, man. She's absolutely out of her mind.
Yeah.
That she would even think that, much less, like, say it.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Out loud to somebody she hardly knows.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you see that DVD, which I did see it recently at a Blockbuster video, just know that, like...
It's coming from a weird place.
Yeah. All this, you know, everything that you see that, like, appears to give a shit about some unfortunate or less fortunate situation...
is not necessarily the case. No. Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, it's... That is a product that's being marketed for sale.
Mm.
It just happens to be about... full of information about something that seems to be, you know, helping a less fortunate situation.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. The world is so fucked. I'm not an idiot. My eyes are open. I can see it. Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know what I learned about Santa Claus and the Pope? What they have in common?
What's that?
Well, their wardrobe, for one thing, is quite similar.
Santa Claus and the Pope.
Yeah. I learned this from this website, Gnostic Media, Gnostic Media. I believe it's .org. It could be .com.
So they both wear robes, is that it?
Well, it's the whole notion of the red and the white. If you look at the papal garb.
Uh-huh. He's in white.
Well, he's in white, but it's red trim, and it has this, like, cone thing, and, like, I wish I could remember the name of this mushroom. There's a psychedelic mushroom that all this stuff is based on. That, you know, supposedly, you know, opens your mind, illuminates you to the realities of the world we live in. And
so when you say it's...
It's also representative of the myth of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I just had to finish my statement there.
Sorry, I thought you were done. No. I'm sorry. Now, when you say there's a representative mushroom that all these things are based on...
I can't think of the fucking name of it. I'm gonna have to do this research.
A real mushroom. There's a mushroom.
Yeah, and if you eat it, you hallucinate.
And you have visions of the Pope. I mean, what do you mean by this exactly?
No, it's supposedly this. Have you ever had a psychedelic excursion?
I have taken mushrooms twice.
And did you? What was the experience for you?
The first time was a bunch of fun, giddy, giggly, ha ha, great right. time.
You didn't quite break through into the. The second the morbidity time of
was
the
awful.
Fragility of
awful.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
But that's that experience is the epiphonic experience that is attributed to the myth busting, if you will, of like our naive notions of the world we live in.
So you're saying it's an awakening. That psychedelic experience allows one to see things differently, I guess.
In their truest essence. In the fragile, the most fragile sense.
So somebody that may have believed in the Pope, like, I just don't understand the correlation.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not able to explain it as well as this video that I saw.
Okay.
But basically... I think that the link that they try to make is that the church has long since known that this is the supposed fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve supposedly partook of, which at a certain point opened their eyes and brought them to a state of being like God or seeing like God sees. You know, and that was the fruit that they were tempted with that brought about sin. And yeah,
that's
so
interesting.
It's all supposedly.
So is this mushroom kept locked up somewhere?
No, it grows in nature, on poop, on cow poop. That's why in India, cows are revered as higher spiritual forms. They're gods.
Because of the mushrooms that
grow
in
their poop? Holy shit, babe.
That's interesting. So I'm surprised that these mushrooms aren't locked up so that, you know, like...
They're illegal.
They are. You're right. They are illegal. There you
go. So is marijuana.
You're right.
And what are we doing? We're doing a legal drug.
Mm-hmm.
And we do legal drugs all day long. Coffee, sugar, beer.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing all that stuff. But that doesn't open certain... It doesn't...
It's different.
Open certain concepts or doesn't enhance your imagination.
Right.
It actually dulls your perception. These are drugs that dull your sensitivity.
Well, it doesn't expand your consciousness, right?
Well, alcohol, it dulls your senses.
Right.
It numbs you.
Right.
So that's why it's legal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And the stuff that, like, could actually open your imagination to thinking outside of the realm of right and wrong, legal, illegal, you know, citizen, criminal, all these concepts and constructs that mankind, the rulers of mankind have created for mankind to believe in. All those concepts become completely irrational notions once one's mind is expanded and enlightened. They realize, no, I am a spirit form living in a body that is not bound by the laws of this natural realm. I'm going to leave this body, and I'm going to, you know, maybe you don't believe this, some people don't, but it doesn't matter, because as long as you're in this body, you are a conscious state that has a taste for freedom from construct. Or, you know, I think it's born that way. We're trained against that nature. And many people never recover from that training. Where the artist strives continually to reach that point of freedom of spirit.
Right.
Within the construct of the body. Right. In this realm.
Right.
So, if they're a genuine artist, that is.
Right.
So, I'm just saying that this whole Christmas, Santa Claus, Jesus Christ, it's all linked together, and it's all based on the zodiac chart. It's all based on the astrological signs and how they correlate to different eras and periods of time. And it's all very reasonably laid out. It doesn't seem like hocus pocus.
Right.
Like some fantasy guy in the sky that eventually is going to fix all your problems. Someday I'm going to get there to the promised land, you know? Or Jesus Christ is going to come back and save me from all the oppressors, you know? Instead of, you know, a person saying, no, freedom is from within if I choose it. Or freedom is up to me.
Right. It's a very addictive viewpoint. To think waiting for this external thing to like give you peace or something, make you high, you know?
That's really what it is. And Jesus makes people feel high.
Yeah.
And the belief in that notion that there is a superior being in this out into space somewhere, or that maybe we exist within this superior being that ultimately is going to bring us into some illumination, without any effort on our part. It's going to be handed to us as a free gift once we stop breathing. That idea, it's really license for people not to explore their psychology and their behavior, and not to explore the idea that they're truly solitary in this existence, and it's up to them how it's defined. It's their responsibility to define their purpose in life.
Yeah.
Or to even understand that they are alive. True. Yeah, so... Anyway, Merry Mushroom.
Merry Mushroom.
So let's talk about something a little bit on the lighter side.
Okay.
Maybe we'll play some music. Insert music here. I can edit this fucking thing,
okay.
And I will.
Okay, very good.
You gotta stop thinking that, like, it's all, like, done.
This is permanent, forever. Okay, so something on the lighter side. Light.
After all that. Let's talk about Seinfeld. No, I'm kidding. Guitar Hero. How about that? What do you think about that?
I have nothing to say. No comment.
You seemed to have a comment the other night about the commercial.
Guitar Hero?
Is that the
Slash thing?
Yeah, or it's either fucking that stupid. Or it's this. There's two of them that are out. There's Guitar Hero, and then there's the other one, like
pathetic.
Band. Something banned.
It's pathetic. That's what I think. It's sorely pathetic. Yeah.
Why do you think it's sorely pathetic?
Well, it's just if they want to play guitar, they should learn how to play guitar and not have, you know.
But what if they're just totally talentless hacks and they want to feel like a rock star?
Right. Then I guess they'll pay money to get their ego. I guess they'll just pay money to whatever software program and feel like they're more than they really are.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very good comment.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because unfortunately, to develop a skill takes time and effort.
Yes. I received my guitar when I was 12.
Well, it takes a lot of effort.
I'm 32, so it's 20 years of playing guitar.
A lot of effort. And I think it's almost repulsive. The way people just sort of try to latch onto something and just get the ego, just this sort of ego thrill. I mean, it's okay to an extent if it's just kind of silly, but it just seems to be a little bit more than that. Like, I don't know, there's something kind of almost creepy about it.
Yeah, people take it very, very, very literally as if they're really doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like karaoke on steroids.
Yeah, it just makes me feel creeped out. Just.
But you know what? Like, this is the funny thing about our current time. I think that, let's say, in the 50s, the 60s, people were the squares of society, the young kids that were square,
mm-hmm.
the 20-somethings, 30-somethings, that were the square type people.
Mm-hmm.
It was very obvious who was a square mm-hmm. and who was hip.
Right.
Now the squares have really figured out how to dress and camouflage themselves in a way that,
right.
with hipness, that makes them appear like more on the cutting edge than they ever will be.
Right.
So there's that weirdness that's happened. And I think David Berman said something like, in a song like, won't soul music change now that our souls have turned strange? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's something like that. I mean, that's not really the right reference, but
right. But I know what you're trying to say. Yeah,
I think that, you know, you're trying to understand. Like, I mean, just because you wear, let's say, a police uniform, doesn't mean you're a cop now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
like.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
things don't signify what they used to.
Right, the irreverence and the sarcasm and the ironic or sardonic aspect of humor and all that stuff in that has permeated through pop culture has basically eliminated the symbolisms in our culture.
Yeah,
like eliminated. The meaning of our symbols.
Right, because there is a meaning to things and things are constructed for a reason. And, right, that the extreme irony and all that kind of stuff breaks that down.
Well, it's like this guy who wrote this book on bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name. I wish I could. Maybe I'll
the
edit
professor
it.
Professor at Princeton.
Right. He's a very, very well-thought person.
Mm-hmm.
He writes this book on bullshit, and I think that this is what he's getting at. In that mm-hmm. our society has no concern for the most part, like the youth of our society, the 20-somethings and 30-somethings, at least of my generation, seem to have latched on to the Stephen Colbert mm-hmm. idea of the world, and which is like to make a mockery of everything,
mm-hmm.
and that because it's funny,
mm-hmm.
and.
Well, because I think, A, the world is just lied to them so much that how can I take it seriously?
Yeah.
Like, I've been so hurt in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of like by, say, politicians, by politics, by world
events.
Yeah, but
that's a fucking cop-out, man.
That is a cop-out. You get hurt. But I guess that's part
Everybody
of it.
Everybody gets hurt.
Or by the media.
But still, it's a fucking cop-out. Mm-hmm. To say, I'm going to turn into somebody who doesn't give a shit about meaning or symbolism mm-hmm. or purpose or significance mm-hmm. because all these things happen.
It is a cop-out. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I can see how it could develop.
Right.
But
No, I understand it. Don't get me wrong.
But it is a cop-out, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because really, yeah, it is a cop-out. It's an easy way out. Definitely.
Give a fuck, man. That's what I'm saying. Fucking give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke.
Pardon my freedom.
You know, because, the French are so lambasted.
Yes,
that
we have to replace
French with freedom.
Yes.
Although that seems to make sense to me. The French and freedom. That seems to kind of go hand in hand. Because they pretty fucking liberated the French.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God somebody is.
Mm-hmm.
Oui, oui. I love the French.
Wait, what were we talking about? Something that we just completely dropped.
Don't you love it when that happens?
I feel like we missed. Oh, okay.